Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As the insert in your bulletin tells you, yesterday marked the 500th anniversary of Luther taking his stand on the truth of God's word at the Diet of Worms. In opposition to the representatives there from the Roman Church and in opposition to Emperor Charles V, Luther refused to submit to their authority and continued to confess the truth of God's word. As a result of that refusal to recant, Luther was labeled a heretic, and a price was put on his head. Here in our gospel lesson, Jesus appears to those who are gathered together in fear to bring them peace. He speaks to their fear and doubts by saying, "This is what I told you." As the living word of God who has risen from the dead, Jesus is telling them that they can trust him at his word, that his word is the foundation upon which they can stand in the storms that will surely come. Anchored to him, they will not be moved. The fury of those storms will beat on them, but they will not be moved. Luther had grown up in the church. The teaching he received when he was young was based on a combination of God's word, canon law, and philosophies. Among the common people, superstitions also played a significant role. The bottom line of all of that is that Luther grew up believing God to be an angry judge who could only be appeased by good works. Luther's salvation depended upon his ability to gain favor with God through his good works. And anybody who's ever read anything about Luther knows how he handled that struggle. Luther himself said he probably shortened his life by at least 20 years from what he put himself through trying to gain favor with God by his works. When Luther was given the opportunity to study God's word as chair of the Bible at Wittenberg University, he began to hear and listen to the voice of God, primarily the voice of Christ. Through his study of Paul's letter to the Romans, Luther heard the voice of God speak to him, saying, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" Paul writes again later on in that same letter, "But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Paul goes on to write about Jesus' atoning sacrifice, about the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of sins. It's the blood of Christ that appeases the wrath of God. And it is the forgiveness received that justifies man before God. The emphasis being always on the work God has done to rescue us from the power of sin and death, not on what we can do. When Luther stood before men at the Diet of Worms, when he was being compelled by their authority to recant his writings, particularly those that declared a man is justified before God by faith in Jesus Christ, Luther could not do that. He could not recant. He simply said, "Here I stand." He chose to take his stand upon what God had told him about salvation and rescue from sin, on what God had revealed to him through his word. What Jesus did for Luther through his word, he does for his disciples here in Luke. He reminds them of what he had told them by telling it to them again. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. In the midst of the opposition they will face, Jesus tells them to stand on what he has told them. Stand on the truth that he has revealed to them, that they have seen and heard with their own eyes and ears. Jesus showed them his hands and feet. He invited them to touch him and know that he is flesh and bone. He took a piece of broiled fish and ate it in their presence, all to demonstrate that he was indeed alive, that he had risen just as he had said. God speaks the same word to us. God is here to say, this is what I told you. Through his word, God has told us about the gift of salvation, of his gracious work done for us. He has told us of the benefits that come as a result of his saving work, by his work through the waters of baptism, by the power of his word at work through those waters. God has joined us to himself. In that union, we receive the benefits of his saving work. We have died with him, and we have also been raised to life with him. We have received life and salvation through the forgiveness of our sin. United together with Christ, we are more than conquerors. We are dearly loved children of God. And because of that union with Christ, because we are joined together with him, there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. That's what he has said to us in his word. That's what he has promised to us for Jesus' sake. That is what he has told us and what he continues to tell us. He continues to speak to us through his word because there are so many other voices vying for our attention. Other religions, philosophies, self-help gurus, even voices within the church that claim to speak the truth, that claim to have the answers to our struggles and our doubts. There are those who take parts of all of those voices to fashion a truth for themselves or to hide the lies under the facade of truth. They'll talk of compassion and concern for neighbor. They'll raise up issues and call for our support, and will call us out as unloving, prejudiced, hate mongers, and on if we don't support their truth. And there's another voice that speaks to us, and we could talk about it as our dead conscience that accuses us on a daily basis and tells us we can't possibly be worth God's notice or care, that continues to pull up things from our past and stick it in front of our face and say, what about this? How can you talk about being a dearly loved child of God if you've done this? If you're continuing to do this or think this? To hear that day after day after day, to be confronted by all those other voices, voices that at times contradict each other, that can wear you down, can break you down, and cause you to conclude that the only way to find peace is to comply. Resign yourself to those whispers in your head that say, you are worthless. And in the midst of all those voices, God comes and he speaks to us through his word to tell us, this is what I say. All those other voices, this is what I say. His word becomes the test for what is truth. God's word is indeed the solid rock upon which we all stand. He's the foundation upon which we are built, so that we can stand in the midst of the storms of all those voices and not be moved. God comes again to us today in the midst of those voices, particularly in the midst of that accusing voice that whispers to us daily. He comes to us in the midst of our sin to say, he who says he has no sin deceives himself and the truth is not in him. But if you confess your sin, God, I am faithful and just and will forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. To our sin and the doubt and conflict that it brings, God speaks his word of forgiveness. He says to us again, this is what I told you. For the sake of my Son, Jesus Christ, all your sins have been forgiven. You are my dearly loved child. And that doesn't change because you hear those whispers. That doesn't change because you can't, by your own strength, overcome the sin that's at work in you. That doesn't change because this is what I told you. And this is what I have done to make sure you are mine. Jesus comes to us in the bread and wine today so that he can say that to us. So that he can say to all of us gathered together here, peace be with you. In his invitation, we, by faith, see his hands and his feet. He invites us to join him at his table, to sit at that place he has prepared for us, just as he said. He comes to say to us again, this is what I told you. I took your place under the curse of the law. I was condemned in your place. I died as payment for your sin, and I was raised for your justification. You are free. Sin and death no longer have any claim on you. You belong to me. You are my treasured possession, and there is no power in all of creation that can change that. That's what Christ is saying to us in his invitation to join him at his table. All that he has told us in the past is still true today. Truth is truth, and it always will be. We stand today upon the same rock that Luther stood on before Charles V in Worms. The storms came and raged, but Luther was not moved. By the power of the word of God, we will not be moved. Let the storms come. Let false claims multiply. Let the freedoms we enjoy be curtailed or completely taken away. It matters not. As Luther writes, though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not. We fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl, fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. That one little word comes to us today, unchanged, unmoved. He comes to say to us, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Luther writes again, the word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. This is what Jesus has told us. This is what he tells us still. And that word is certain and sure. The empty tomb is the guarantee. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.